Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Yeah, g'day, buddy. Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Here we are in the middle of the penultimate round of the NRL, heading into finals footy in just a couple of weeks. Every game crucial.
Couldn't you just say second last?
Yeah, I could have, but I love the word penultimate.
You don't get used to that often. It's not a word that comes up that often, except for obviously this weekend.
I like those words that are just, you know, as you say, they're a little bit fancy. You don't really need to use
it. Is that too fancy for this show?
Well, do you think it's too fancy? You're talking our listeners down now, Em. Is that what you're saying?
No, maybe some of
in the room.
Is that right?
Why would you look at me? I just tried to backtrack.
Why would you look at me when you said that? Yeah. Like, I'd give nothing but love for you.
I didn't look at you. I was looking at Gerd.
She was looking at me too.
You were wearing.
And I brought it up.
Yeah, I know you did. Yeah. I said, "What's my favourite?" Well, apart from erstwhile, which I also, you know,
what does that mean?
Former.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. You had me there.
You got your glasses on now. Sometimes I wear them.
No, they're not. Definitely
affectation.
Not full time. No.
Just are reading.
But my eyes seem to be getting worse, Tony.
Because you've got your glasses on 24/7.
Maybe that's it.
That will do it.
Maybe that's it. Okay, I'll take them off. But I tell you what, it's probably better when I look over my right shoulder if I haven't got my glasses on.
Why is that?
I'll leave it to you.
Yeah. Do you like the glasses, though? I think they're, as a fashion statement, I think
I don't
very
mind
good.
Them.
Yeah.
But, you know, that just reminds me, actually. I saw something on social media during the week.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is that the bloke in a bar Instagram page.
Yeah.
I think you were in the best looking team of the century.
Do I get a case of beer?
You're looking at him, but you're talking about me, right?
I'll try and find it.
Yeah, I'm going to get it up.
Do you know
it just reminded me.
Do you know who does that?
Is that Denham Kemp?
That's Denham Kemp, yeah. I can't believe
great
I was.
Great player, Denham. Retired way too early.
I can't believe I wasn't in there. I was 1998.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Best looking of all time. Okay. Best looking of all time. It features yourself, Ruben Wickie, Corey Parker, Sonny Bill. Corey Parker gets a start. Shandor Earle, Matt Cooper.
Yeah, handsome.
Nick Kotrick.
Is ET in there?
Ruben Garrick. No, ET's not in there. Wow. Craig Wing, Cam Murray.
Oh, can I say Craig Wing? Yeah, he's a delight.
Cam Murray's made
Are they in position, so to speak?
What sort of position?
Luke Rickardson. Like, are you the best centre stroke wing stroke, you know, whatever you do?
Luke Rickardson has to be in there, doesn't he?
He's not in there, believe it or not.
Is Tony Carroll in there?
No,
Rico wrote an email.
There are a couple
Is Tony Carroll in there?
Is Gavin Miller in there?
Darren Lockie is in there.
What?
Shane Webkin?
Yeah, Lockie's good, mate. They love that country sort of huskiness. Yeah.
So back in his early day when he had a full head of hair, obviously.
I mean, he has now.
Wendell's not there. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. I don't mind.
Yeah, that was the surprise for me that Dell wasn't there.
What did you say you were in?
1998 Sexiest Man in the League. Yeah.
It was
on the footy show. I got the crown and everything. Right. I wouldn't mind finding that footage, actually, just to show my wife and that, you know.
1998 Sexiest Man in Footy.
Yeah, and you know why else I'm happy?
Why?
Mate, the Broncos last night. What a great win. My Broncos got home last night.
Oh, you were so shallow. Let's have a look at that Tyre Power scoreboard. You're right, they did. That was a great game of footy. Cracking game of footy. We'll get to that very shortly. 17 points to 16. They got the job done over the Eels in Golden Point that lasted roughly 20 seconds, Golden Point. Gee, it was good.
I hate Golden Point.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold that.
Such
thought.
A negative mood today. We've had a fantastic start to the. What's the name of this
round? Penultimate
round.
Penultimate.
That's it. Yeah. Penultimate round.
You're a bit moody too today, Gerd.
You're
sick. You're a little bit you know, vulnerable. A little bit whiny.
No, I'm not vulnerable.
And he had to travel a fair bit this week too. He had to go out to Castle Hill and then, like, obviously,
what
to
Bankstown. What happened then? Now, you were on the rush hour with MG on Thursday.
Yeah, I had the honour of doing the rush hour with MG on Thursday night. And for some reason, we went to Castle Hill Bar at 77. We did a show there a couple of weeks ago, Tony, that you missed out on.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a fantastic time, and I had such a good time that when...
Went back.
When anyone mentions an RSL club, it's just directly where I go to. And so, it was, unfortunately, the event was at the Blacktown, Bankstown RSL. And I went to Castle Hill RSL, but they're all sponsors, so we love them all. And they're all on board for next year.
Castle, it's a tough RSL to get to as well.
Yeah.
You're normally very efficient
with
that kind of stuff, aren't you? When you were playing, did you ever go to the wrong ground? Were you that kind of player?
No, I never did that. No, never did that. Had an off night, Tony.
A little bit under the weather. We've got plenty to get to. We were going to talk about, of course, we're all heading towards the battle of, we can't say Brookie,
you can't
can
say Brookvale anymore.
Why not, Em? It's
you have to. Well, Lotto Land. So, obviously, Lotto Land are a naming rights sponsor. Mm-hmm. And because they've just re-signed, they're giving Manly a lot of money. Mm. Scott Penn put a letter together, sent it to all the staff, all of the players, and said, you cannot say Brookvale Oval or call it the Battle of Brookvale. Mm. of course, that infamous fight with Melbourne from 8 years ago. And I was there during the week at Narrabeen for two separate press conferences, and the lovely Wayne Cousins, you know, pulled each
champion.
Of them.
Love
well, he's a legend, but had to, you know, pull each of the players aside and said, make sure you say Lotto Land. And they did as they were told. And I even asked Desi, I said, are you looking forward to 2.0 of, I think, the Battle of Lotto Land? And he chuckled and said, good to see you read the papers. You're doing your job. So
it just doesn't work.
No, I mean, it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound, you can't
something.
Say Battle of, and it wasn't Lotto Land then. So Battle of Brookie it is.
It's funny how we like, because, you know, as I said, I grew up, you know, following Manly. So for me, it's always been Brookvale. My first starting debut was at Brookvale, played against a guy called Jamie Olgenick. Anyway, so I was on here talking about it when it changed its name. And a mate of mine texts me from Lotto Land going, mate, can you please call it Lotto Land, not Brookvale? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so people blow up about it as well.
But because like suburban grounds, it's hard to associate it then with the sponsor. I know you need to, but with everyone says ANZ Stadium because it's easier with something like that. But with Brookie or Leichhardt Oval, imagine then if you weren't calling it Leichhardt Oval.
And today's Telegraph, it's the brawl to the end, what really happened at Battle of Brookvale. Nick Walshaw, if you get a chance, have a look at a good story. He interviews and the Melbourne players involved in it and gets their perspective of that brawl. It will be a willing game. That, of course, is 5:30. It's Sea Eagles and the Storm. Before then, it is the Knights and the Titans. That, of course,
game.
Old boys' day for the Knights. Yeah. And with everything that's gone up there, that will be fascinating. And Roosters and Panthers will finish off the ticket later on in the evening. Just going back to that scoreboard for you, as we mentioned, the Broncos over the Eels, 17 points to 16. The Rabbitohs, 31 to 10. They beat the Warriors. We'll look at that game and all the others in what is now officially known as the penultimate round of the NRL on Saturday Triple M. NRL. Triple M rocking the footy, ain't no penultimate prize. We've got plenty to come. Broncos over the Eels, 17 points to 16 at Suncorp Stadium, went into Golden Point. Let's start at the back end then for that moment. Golden Point didn't last very long at all thanks to a player who was enormous last night. 19 years old, David Fifita, what a football player he is.
Oh, look, he's outstanding. Look, I heard a lot about this kid over the last couple of years, and we've watched him playing those Queensland, you know, under 18 games and stuff. And you suppose, you think, okay, this kid, he's going to be good when he gets to first grade. But just what he's done this year, obviously played Origin. When Gordon Tullis picked him in his Origin team, I just thought, oh, look, I don't know. Because Gordon, when he picked his team, he had him in the centre. I'm thinking, mate, I don't think he can handle centre. But just watching just the way he plays, he's just such a tough kid, but skillful. I don't know, he's just so hard to tackle, and his agility is unbelievable. And he gets him into the position where, obviously, they kick that field goal, but there's nothing doing there. And he's been doing it against the best defences.
He's playing 80 minutes a week, too, Tony, the last couple of weeks. So the maturity that him and Payne Haas has also, over the last couple of weeks, played some big minutes. Offen Gowie was out last night, so they needed to. But, I've really enjoyed the Broncos' performances over the last couple of weeks. Yeah. I know they've copped a lot of heat throughout the year, but I think credit where it's due. I think they're... You know, they've got some injuries in key positions, but I think they're doing all right. I think they're going to go into the finals, and you know, I don't think they've got the side to go all the way. They certainly lack some talent in key positions, but I certainly think they're going to make some teams nervous.
Yeah. And David Fifita, they've had raps on him, you know, ever since he was coming through. He went to Keebra Park, obviously, such a good breeding ground for rugby league. And I remember Vossi saying one of the best schoolboys players he's ever seen come through, so too with Payne Haas. And to think that, you know, what they're doing, the motors on them at such, you know, sometimes that comes when they're a little bit older. They might be strong and powerful, but the fact that they can go 80 minutes and generally pretty consistent for 18 to 19-year-olds, you know, the future's looking very bright for the
Broncos. But it's even, like, for me, it's even the way he puts his body on the line, and when he gets hit, for young players to do that, you know, you get used to it after a couple of years, you'll then go, a couple of years, he'll be okay. But he's Origin, obviously, playing well. But even Peter Mulholland, he can't, you know, I think he said he's the best schoolboy he's ever seen. And when Peter Mulholland says that, you know, he knows schoolboy football. But I'm happy for the Broncos because they're just starting to get a bit of, they're getting familiar with each other now, especially Darius Boyd. That's his best game. Mate, I love Darius, good mate of mine. To see him play this year, and I even think I said to Seabowl at some stage, I'm going, mate, you've got to do something about Darius. And with me, he stuck up for him as well, as you do. You stick up for your captain. Darius, I know it's probably his best game of the season, But that's the standard that Darius should be playing week in, week out.
Because he's got a couple of years left on contract. And there's talk, obviously, last week we mentioned Brent Reed said to us that David Fifita hadn't even been any discussion about an extension on his contract. Anthony Seibold did actually talk about all of that after the game. Have a listen.
What Darius does won't have any impact on David. So that's what I tried to say yesterday. Like, there's been commentary around we've re-signed, you know, all these players and we've left no room for David. That's just totally untrue. So we've got a really good contract sitting there ready to go for David. Peter Nolan's meeting with his manager on Wednesday. David's indicated that he wants to stay. I haven't even spoken to Darius about what he's thinking for next year or the year after.
It must have all been part of the plan. Obviously, at the start of the year when Seibold got up there, he moved four or five guys on the field and on a considerable amount of money, given the fact that he knew all these guys were off. And they've signed Lodge and Haas, and I think they were obviously important guys to keep. Tevita Pangai, I mean, he's on the books now. If they get Dave Fifita, then they need to turn their guns on. Well, I mean, they're going to invest in, it seems like Dearden's going to be their man coming through. And if Darius can compete at the same level as what he did last night, next year with a young half coming through, maybe they're not so far away from where we think that they need to be. But got to say, I really like the fact that Milford's gone at the back. I reckon he's a player that just needs to, I think I said it a couple of weeks ago, he just needs to be in the moment. He's so much better when he goes out there and he doesn't have to worry about everyone around him, where the team needs to be. He just worries about his own performance. And when he's given the job of, like, general play kicker, I thought he struggled in the early parts of the game last night. But when he got in his sort of rhythm, he kicked really well. And he handles that role quite comfortably as well. And I think he's in great touch at the moment. So some good signs for the Broncos.
And I reckon what's helped him also, obviously Milford going back there, Macca at hooker. Mate, his running game's been good. I know he got injured this year and Turpin was in. Chico's arrived at the club. All competing. That used to be the Broncos' culture. You know, if you get the opportunity to start in that 17, that's fine. And people are saying, look, Macca should probably move on. And then he took the option up. But he's playing great football. And, you know, I'm happy to eat humble pie there because I thought maybe he was getting a bit slow. But, yeah, he's making breaks. His timing's been perfect.
The impressive thing about last night's victory was the fact that you know, because they haven't got that steering wheel at the moment, I just thought they needed a lot of possession to win footy games, which is what they've done over the last couple of weeks. Parramatta had 55% of the football and Broncos still managed to win. That was pretty good.
The Eels had so many chances at the end there. I thought, didn't they? They looked a bit clunky and I think they had, three or four back-to-back sets, but the Broncos held on. But just on David Fifita as well, he is actually not off contract until 2020, which is why I know a lot of fans were blowing up saying, well, you've got Tevita signed, you've got Lodge signed, but that's because they were off contract at the end of this year. So David Fifita is allowed to officially, by the rules, then negotiate with other clubs from November. So that's everyone saying, well, why haven't you locked him down? But he still has one more full year with the Broncos. So I think that's something maybe fans didn't 100% understand.
Back to Parramatta. Like, I mean, I know they were clunky, but, man, I've got to say, I know the Ford passes and that. I thought Blake Ferguson coming back last night, we've had Semi. That's what Blake and Sivo are working together. That's why I think in the finals, mate, people said, oh, anything Parramatta can go. Mate, Gutho plays his part, but, mate, Ferguson, I think that was a try. Mate, I'm a Bronco man. I don't think that was a forward
pass.
And for him, like, to score that, mate, the athleticism of these wingers is unbelievable. But even Blake Ferguson, like, he's playing his best football now, and it's no coincidence that he's given up the grog. And, you know, he even said
that. Amazing try because he ran to and he leapt when he was millimetres away from the sideline and deliberately his body was going out and then reached the hand back in. It was phenomenal.
I think Parramatta to raise up to that sort of that top tier had to win last night and they had to win last week.
Yeah.
And they had to sort of push for that top four. I just think that separation now between them and the top four, I think it marks their cards for the finals.
And also, too, a lot of sides have big names injured, whereas the Eels are pretty much everyone is on the park bar Nathan Brown, who's suspended, but they don't really have any massive name injuries. Yeah. So obviously Fergo was out, but really this week most of their troops were available. So you'd be expecting a better performance than that when you're close to your best 17 is on the park.
Jermaine Asako almost got them home in game time, didn't he? He had a field goal attempt from 45 metres out, hit the upright, but then, of course, went to Golden Point and he got that next shot within the set of six after, as we said, Fifita did an amazing run, 35 metres, get him in a position and he knocked it over. Is that why you're concerned about it? I mean, to me, that was classic Golden Point. I love a draw when both sets of fans go home disappointed, but, you know, it's hard to argue with the excitement of Golden Point. Why do you want to change it?
I get that. I just think, you know, those the games when the golden point, they haven't dropped shots and, you know, players are offside, the ref's not calling it. And I'll be honest, being a Broncos man too, if you have a look to the letter of the law there, you could have penalised Clint Gutherson. Clint Gutherson could have got a penalty there because Darius Boyd steps, blocks him. I know that was exciting, but I'd rather see golden try or a draw. You know, I think it just gets really messy and sloppy. You know,
and then they're scared to blow any penalties.
Exactly, yeah. And then you know they're trying to play safe. Oh, should I go for it in seven tackles? I don't know.
It doesn't happen though, Wendell. If David Fifita doesn't make that run.
I think we need to give credit
to that. I mean, that was the actual moment.
Oh, of course.
I mean, the field goal was fantastic, but everyone today is talking about how we beat six players, got them 10 metres to the left-hand side of the upright, and then they kicked it from there. So I think
it was a match-winning run as much as he scored the try.
Pretty similar.
Yeah. And it has, even when you're not a supporter of either side, it has everyone. I mean, I was at home with my family, and there were sort of seven of us watching, and we were all like on the edge of our seat watching.
Who were the other six?
My dad. I think my dad was asleep. He'd had a few beers.
Happy Father's Day, Mr. Lawrence.
just a drive away from the daughter.
Is that the typical Friday night at the Lawrence household? Like dad's drunk, in the recliner, dribbling.
What time did he start?
All over his favourite T-shirt.
Well, I think he had a work function, so he had a work function. Okay. I got there late because I was working.
Oh, good. You
were work function, alcoholic.
And then I messaged Jack saying I'm going to be late, and he said, "Don't worry, your dad's only just rocked up." And it's a Father's Day dinner for Dad, and Dad's rocked up an hour and a half late.
Yeah, that's okay,
already under the weather.
So Zach goes to the Father's Day dinners.
Yeah.
But you guys aren't engaged.
Yeah. No.
Does your dad like Zach?
I believe so.
Because I know Chris does.
Will Zach go to your father before he proposes to ask for his permission?
I think Zach would.
And does he call him Dad yet?
I don't think so. I think he's scared of my dad.
Oh, is he?
I think my dad's
is he imposing your father?
Scary.
Right.
I think so.
Can we get Mr. Lawrence on the line today?
Well, I don't know. Is he sobered
up? He might be a ghost.
Honestly.
We've got a direct line to the golf club.
If you're listening,
Mr. Lawrence, can you call in?
Is he really scary? Would he intimidate us if we were talking to him? Remembering that I'm probably older than him now that I think about it.
I don't know. He's just intimidating.
What's he do for a living?
Is he a lumberjack?
He works for Veolia.
Oh yeah.
I believe, yeah. So he's
makes musical instruments.
Operations manager, something. I think he just bosses people around for a living.
Oh, nice.
I always hear him on the phone,
it.
You know, yelling at people and.
Okay. Yeah. So that's where you've learnt that, like, when you boss me and Gerds and Squires around.
Yeah, I'm the boss. Yeah. Learn from.
Can you get my lunch, please, guys? I didn't. Just pay for it today, Mel. Thanks.
Can you name the other four people in the room?
Also, it was my brother, his wife, Catherine, Zach, and then my sister and her fiance as well, Nick.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so your sister's managed to get a guy
who's
having
a dig.
Put a ring on
Nick's
it.
Nick's
had a dig, and she's 4 years younger. So I think that the pressure. And they were only together for less time than Zach and I. So everyone started to say, "Come on, Zach, get your skates on." But I certainly was not saying that to Zach.
No, you just say it during the show. Do you think it's the other opportunity you get?
Do you think the engagement's the right move for them, or are you concerned?
No, right move. We love Nick.
Okay.
No, we love Nick. If you're listening.
Okay. And if M's fun, what's your dad's name?
Steve.
Mr. Lawrence. I'll call him Mr. Lawrence.
He's got his up on the contraception. You'll get him one day.
Yeah. Dragons fans might like to give us a call. We want to talk about your signs if you want to take them to the ground. 133353 is our number. Give us a call. Satellite Triple M NRL. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you on this Saturday afternoon, all heading towards kickoff. The Knights taking on the Titans, and it's the Seagulls and the Storm, the Roosters and the Panthers. The Dragons will play tomorrow. Plenty to get to in terms of the Dragons. I just want to start, of course, by congratulating our good friend and colleague Wendell Saylor on son Tristan's debut last week. We lived that with you. Obviously, you knew it was happening last Saturday evening. What was the experience like for you?
I think it was great for the whole family. The in-laws came down from Townsville. But what about, I didn't know this, but the mother-in-law, because Tara was coming up that afternoon and she had Tristan, so she couldn't go to the airport earlier and I was working here. So the mother-in-law flew in from Melbourne. The father-in-law flew in from Townsville. She sat at the airport for 4 hours waiting for the father-in-law. She was happy to sit there and do some stuff to see Tristan play. But, mate, the emotion was unbelievable because I don't know if you guys realise, but that afternoon, even calling the game, I was just nervous all day for him, and and you just you don't know what to expect because you know it's the big stage, and But yeah, just even his jersey presentation, and people have said to me, you know, why didn't you present his jersey and that? But I think for Tristan, Paul McGregor's had a lot to do with Tristan's career, coaching and that. But Tristan and Cade McGregor are best friends, and Mary's coach. And I said to Tara, I actually text Tristan, I said, mate, I'm more than happy for your mum to present your jersey. Don't be offended. But I think he wanted Mary to do it, and we both got to speak in there. And just when I walked into the dressing room, just to see him sit there with Gareth Widdop and the boys, it's just because I used to take him there all the time. You know, yeah. I saw Dean Young and Ben Hornby, who's coached him, and I just started tearing up walking in there because Craig Young's there. And it's just something different. You just don't know. It just, as the doors open up, Mary sort of might come in and all the players are sitting there, and then you're looking over there and I'm seeing him. And I just know how hard he's worked to get there. And, you know, the mother-in-law, I was in front of the mother-in-law, and I pushed her in front because I just started tearing up in the corner. And then Mary presented his jersey. And then, you know, Matisse was there. And I think, you know, when we're working and we're away doing a lot, you know, Tara has sent me pictures from Canberra when Matisse and Tara have driven down there to watch Tristan play in the 20s and stuff. So I'm just really proud of him. And just when we went back to see all our friends and that, they all started rocking up slowly because we went back and sat out there. And the fans, like, the fans were great. I just thought, oh, I don't know how many people are going to be there. But I was worried. I was watching the Roosters warm up, and I just said to Tara, I didn't want to be. I was going, you know, Cooper Cronk is the best exponent of finding the back three out. Like, so I started, like, you know, but just even him, like, I shook his hand and just, you know, I had to say a few words, and I didn't really want to talk. I just thought, because Tara spoke, that my father-in-law spoke, and I've just got to thank, you know, the Dragons Club, because what people don't understand is, he signed to the club at 13. There was him, Dylan Morris, and young Jack Cross's young bloke, John Cross's young bloke, Jack. So they were in the system at 13, like the Steelers and that. But just even after the game, I was just happy for him. And the thing when he came home, I went first, and Tara waited for him with the mother-in-law, and just I was just so happy for him. And when he walked in, I just said, mate, congratulations. You should be really proud. And eight of his best mates, like from school and that, you know, they were there to watch him. But they'd caught the train, come in, and they just sat there for 45 minutes to an hour having a drink. And I sat there with Tara just going, that's just unbelievable. The father-in-law is sitting there. And it's one of those things where even the next day we went for a lunch, and then Monday's at uni. There was no big night set. Remember back in the day,
Gert? Yeah, polo shirt on, mate, out we go. I'm first grader.
Yeah. Mate, I remember it was 58,000 people on debut, and I remember I kept thinking, you know, oh, mate, you know, like, yeah, how good's this at Rollers tonight, mate, put the shirt on, you know. Yeah. I think I got about 15 minutes, and I might have touched the ball once, but even when it's funny, when he made mistakes and that, I was riding that wave of emotion with him, and Tara would look at me and goes, oh, was that his fault? Because I think they scored a try, and him and Corey Norm went for it. Yeah. And Tara goes, oh, whose fault's that? And I said, oh, look, they both could have got there, but I said it was a good kick. Mm. And then so Tara's looking back at me, and then friends are talking to us, but people are really good. So thanks to the Dragons fans, and people have sent us messages, and you guys were great with your text too. So
he certainly didn't look out of place. But what was his feedback like at the end of the game? Because obviously they played the Roosters. How did he find the step up in class?
Oh, but he was, even like when he got home, he was just so sore. And then even the next day, he was sitting there and we're having lunch and that. And it's just a different step up. And I didn't want to talk too much footy to him, but he'll talk to me about it. But even like Tara relays, because him and his mum, you know, they're so, as I said to you, they're so tight in what they talk about. And we try not to talk too much footy. A couple of years ago, I pulled away from the footy, but I think he understands it's the next step up. Even the other night, I said to him, mate, the best thing for you to do is recovery again, because if you get to start again. But he was happy. He actually said, he goes, oh, mum, he goes, if I'm back in reserve grade, at least I've had a taste and I know what to, you know, and he had uni on Monday. Just such a different.
He's such a humble boy.
Yeah, well, that's
quite unbelievable.
Yeah, but, you know, what, he went to book club the night before. What was the last book you read? Your biography, probably.
Oh, I don't know.
Ten times.
I don't even think I read that. I think Tara read it, and I just said, "Look, this is right and wrong." But for me,
you didn't read your own book.
No, I didn't really. No. But
not many other people did either.
But for me, I think even the in-laws, I think. They've put in a lot of time just with him, and I think there was an article in the Mercury saying that how his love of books and all that, and he goes, my dad's not really a reader, it's more my mum and my grandma and his sister. So
I tell you what I loved at Fox Sports on Monday, I was going through, we had a split screen of you in the crowd and Tristan, you know, playing. So there was the close try where he almost over the line, and then your face next to it, and you were riding every second. Then, of course, he scored a terrific try, a lot of pace in there. It was great. Yeah. And then your reaction side by side, it looked fantastic.
I just loved it for Tara. Like, I'm happy for, I've seen Zach Lomax and all those young kids come through. And the funny thing is, when all those kids are debuted, Tristan's always sent a message and is so happy for him. So that's what I said. I think I said an article, really call me Sunday. And I just see he's always been a really good a clubman. And even like Gareth Widdop and Tarek Sims, they've kept in touch with me the last couple of years and go, mate, the young boy's going well on that. For me, it's I don't mind. Because when he got into first grade squad, Gareth goes, oh, does a young bloke want a bit of ribbon? I said, mate, you guys treat him, do what you want to do with him. And that's, you know, it's been wonderful. And even Craig Young, for me, Sharon Young passed away a couple of years ago, but the Youngs had a big effect when we moved to Wollongong. So I will never forget that. To see Craig Young there, I got real emotional because, you know, he's been a big part of it.
It sounds like he's a player that the club should keep hold of. What's the update on his contract?
Yeah, I think it's nearly done now. It's been the last month, I think, your man Riolo. So I stayed away. So a couple of years ago when he wanted to get a manager in Tara, they went against me. So I just said, look, I understand. You guys, you know, you do what you got to do. But he's pretty happy. I don't think he's going anywhere.
All right. I don't want to get to the negative side of the Dragons right now in the same break because that was lovely to talk to you about that. It's Saturday Triple M NRL. Rocking the footy as we like to do here on a Saturday afternoon on Triple M. Del M. Gerds, Tony with you. We're talking the Dragons, talking the good news story of Tristan Sartor at the Dragons. Of course, it hasn't been all rosy at Cogra or Wollongong this season, and plenty of fans have been upset about what they've seen on the field. A list of players who, plenty of whom have played representative footy and did so very well, but not doing it quite so well in the red and white. And there was also the story this week of fans wanting to bring those posters and signs. And the Dragons have been a crowd that have often done it, mostly positive, the GST, you know, the great St. George team. There have been so many of those sorts of posters, but there was for a long time the Oust campaign. At the moment, there's a bit of a fail Mary is one that's been seen. Now, I understand, and I'm sure I'm trying to clear up my head, whether it was council or the Dragons, that poster wasn't allowed in last week. Where are we up to with this?
So, yeah, we thought it was the Dragons, but turns out they had said, no, it was more so council. But I personally don't like to see that sort of thing because I know fans have, you want fans invested in the game. You want fans to be passionate. They're the ones that are coming to games, spending the money on tickets or watching the games on whatever channel it may be. And they deserve to have a voice. But at the same time, there's a manner in which you can, I don't know, a big sign, fail Mary. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that's necessary. And if you're a fan, shouldn't you be, I guess, sticking by your side or at least maybe voicing your opinions in other ways than a sign like that? I'm a big fan of that. I don't think they should put a ban on it as such, but I just think it's poor form.
But if it's not derogatory, if it's not rude, if it's not too personal, I mean, clearly it's personal in terms of career. I guess the fans, and they do it through their forums, and they're quite scary to read.
Everyone lets loose on the forum.
But I guess it's the notion of a fan feeling that they do have a voice. So how do they have that voice? Will they do it visually at games where cameras will pick that up and they will want to send a message? Now, look, I like Paul McGregor a lot, but, you know, clearly there's a groundswell of some of fans who don't believe that he's done the job that he should have. I'm not sure whether David is called 133353, whether he's one of those fans. What do you think about the fans having that kind of voice?
Yeah, mate, I've got to disagree with them. I think it's fine. I haven't got a problem with the players like Nicky Ennis doing the Viking clap and the Manly player crying back to the crowd last week. That's all good. But, you know, if a fan pays his money and it's not rude or no swear words, well, why not? Why can't he have an opinion?
Yeah, I agree, David. I mean, our game has always been about theatre and it's always about heroes and villains. And look, Mary McGregor, I know Mary quite well and I'm sure he's upset about how the team's going at the moment, but things like that would be the furthest thing from his mind. He would understand, obviously, that he lives in the local community. He would understand how a lot of the Dragons people are feeling about it. And these guys, you know, with an outlet of taking these banners to games, I don't think it's a big issue at all.
David, are you okay with the fans booing the team off at halftime if they've given a poor performance?
What was that, sorry?
Mate? You okay with the fans booing the team off at halftime if they've given a bad performance?
Well, it's all right if they cheer, so why can't they boo?
Absolutely. Yeah. They've got a voice. Mark, what about you? What are your thoughts?
I agree with that, Blake. Well, they should be able to express their opinion. They're not calling offensive names. They're not being offensive to anyone. All they're doing is expressing an opinion. And unfortunately, they can't sort of argue that the opinion isn't right because based on results this year, the opinion of the fans is right.
Certainly, the results don't speak terribly highly. And you're right. Look, I think I'm not I don't have a major problem with it. And certainly the idea that they
can't ban it. You can't. You definitely can't ban it. I just don't like seeing it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because personally, I hate, and this, it's part of it, but I just hate reading or seeing something critical of your own team or people you know. For example, reading something about my brother, which is critical, for example. I hate seeing that.
Well, I didn't mean to write that.
But, so, you know what I mean? But fans,
yes,
you can't ban it because they are entitled to the voice. I just don't like to see it.
I understand it because we ask, you know, and I was a Red V ambassador for about 6 or 7 years, obviously, I was a player. And like we ask the fans to, you know, to pay money to buy a jersey and that. We want them to have an opinion. I'm with them. I just don't like seeing it. Mate, the Dragons fans have had some great banners over the years. I understand their frustration with Mary. Mate, even sometimes I question whether, you know, Mary's going in the right direction and what's happening too. And, look, they're entitled to do what they want. I just don't like seeing that. And I think James Graham said it on Fox Sports, and I sort of agree with what he said, because that's the way that I see it. When I'm sitting down the crowd, and even as an ambassador, when I'm there for years, I could just, the negative stuff and that, it's if you're not playing well, you've got to roll with the punches, unfortunately.
We got the wooden spoon 1 year, Tony.
Yeah,
we got the wooden spoon in 2003, and Craig Gower got home and there was a wooden spoon like in his letterbox, I think, for like every day, and he'd take it out, and every day for the next week there was a spoon in the letterbox.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's
good.
That's what it's all about. Sport is an outlet for these people that, you know, work, you know, through the week, and they get there on weekends and they need to release. And this guy, you know, obviously, and there's a lot of people there that really want to see change, and this is their way of letting the Dragons know how they feel about their club at the moment. And the fact that they care so much to put these banners and that together, I think is a positive thing for the Dragons.
I love the passion of our rugby league fans, but even the Red V fans. So the forum of the meetings that they have monthly, we used to have to go in there like every couple of months, Gaz and I, and Desi would ask us to go along, and just the passion and some of the fans, and they do express themselves. I was looking at Gaz just going like, mate, you'd hate to be the coach and obviously, or Desi, and it's part of the job, you know, you want not just to be winning, but you want to be successful and know you're going in the right direction, so I can understand if we're asking you to pay heaps of money, well, you know what? They want to know if their team's going in the right direction.
My favourite Dragons banner was when Ben Hornby playing was honk if you're Hornby.
Yeah.
Saturday Triple M NRL. So nice to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. Before we get into a recap of the Rabbits and the Warriors, 31-10, I look at that Tyre Power scoreboard. I just want to, Ryan Girdler, you said before that your eyes were you know, deteriorating. I'm just worrying also about your memory. Just have a listen to this from our discussion just a moment ago.
We got the wooden spoon 1 year, Tony.
Yeah,
we got the wooden spoon in 2003. And
they won it.
And Craig Gower got home and there was a wooden spoon like in his letterbox, I think.
You won the premiership in 2003.
Wow, 2004, did you mean?
That's a real concern, Tony.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking 2001. I was thinking 2001 and 2000. I obviously erased that year from my memory.
How did we not pick up on that, Tony, especially you?
Yeah, I did. Isn't that what I just did?
Did you pick up on it at the time?
Did you pick up
or did producer Charlie?
You know why you're upset,
Don't
Tony?
Talk to me about producer Charlie. He's come out today and said because he was what, in England? He was born in England. There for 5 minutes.
You know why you're upset, Tony?
He loves England. He's not Australian.
I didn't know that.
England to win. He wants England. He's bet me that England will win the Ashes.
You're just upset, Charlie,
Tony. Charlie is rubbish. Oh, yeah. Don't talk about him.
Okay. Well, let's not change it, mate. Gertz, can we go back to... Mate, 2003, how could you forget that?
Yeah, how could you?
Well, as I said, I don't know. I was thinking 2001, but then 2003 came out because that's what I talk about mostly when anyone, the kids, when anyone comes up to me, I just go straight into 2003. But you're just a little bit angry, Tony, and you brought that up because I had a bit of a dig at the Dragons supporters.
Oh, yeah.
And you just couldn't let it go, could you?
No, I couldn't.
You know what? I think, Gerds, maybe your age is getting to you because before the show we were chatting out there about, you know, fans giving it to you, and we asked you, and you said, "Oh, it's too long ago. I just can't remember." So, how much of your career do you remember?
Not a lot,
mate. Look at the size of it, mate. He took some big hits, mate, and he played some pretty tough football.
Well, you know, at the end of the day,
jammed him.
You're in the best looking team of all time. Oh, yeah, so, you know, don't worry about the premiership as long as you're in
that.
Actually, it's good. It's funny. A couple of weeks ago, when the RSL, I did a couple of little Instagram videos of you, and mate, the response from a lot of my female Instagram followers.
Do you have many
Mate, yeah, I have a few, but they love their footy. They go, oh, mate, Gertz is still hot. I grew up loving him and that. So, mate, you still got it, mate.
Oh, thanks, Wendell.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm feeling really cold. I'd started poorly, but it's ending kind of well, Tony. And that's not what you had planned.
Not at all. I wanted revenge for you saying that the Dragons fans have all got lots of posters because they've got plenty of time in the off-season to write them.
Well, they've just got plenty of time in September to be creative, haven't they? But then Wendell corrected me. They did make the playoffs last year. And where are they coming this year, Tony?
Well, the moment they're coming, they're penultimate.
Second last.
They've had a tough year with injuries and distractions.
Yeah. Oh, who hasn't?
Hey, Tony, just it'd be remiss of me not to also give a mention to young Billy Smith, who was on debut last week.
Yes.
Tristan played against...
Who hit Tristan in the first half, the kick in the first tackle.
Yeah,
great.
So they played against each other, Queensland, New South Wales. So well done to the young man. I thought it was a really good debut. And even, it was funny, when he was about to sort of, when everyone was warming up, I grabbed Tara and I go, Latrell's not playing. I just tapped because I'm just thinking, like, on debut, you don't want to try and tackle Latrell. Yeah.
Billy Smith, a great Dragons name, too.
What did you say, Tony? You said, Wendell's young blokes making his debut against the Roosters at fullback. Good chance he'll top the tackle count.
Yeah. I didn't think that was nice.
I didn't think that was nice. Any chance, Tony, you to get one into those Dragons?
Maybe you're secretly one of the supporters holding those banners of the game.
I am just wearing the dark glasses. I'm up on the hill. Don't you worry about me, Em. Hey, just a reminder, is Peter Sterling in the best-looking team of all time? Because when he comes in, we should just run that team.
I think he's a shadow.
I think he was 18th man.
2:30 Sterlo will join us right here on Saturday Triple M NRL. All right, the Rabbitohs and the Warriors, 31 points to 10. South Sydney got the job done in Auckland. It was a good performance. Cam Murray was sensational, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was really good. Scored that try early on in the first half, and it seemed like when I think he went off for that first spell, that's when the Warriors kind of got a bit of momentum as well. But they kind of clicked all over the park. Reynolds, Cody Walker in that second half combined for a nice try as well. So I think that's their first time they've gone back-to-back in about a month because they've been pretty up and down recently. So we didn't get the double fist pump in the air from Wayne this week like we got last week.
How good was that?
Which would have been sensational.
But you know what, good win by the Bunnies because you just need to keep winning at this time of the year and get their confidence back. But Cam Murray, he's only 90 kilos. He puts himself in positions.
No, he's got to be 100 kilos.
I swear to
God. Is he 90
he's
kilos?
He's 90 kilos. Yeah. That's all he is. That's what I couldn't believe when I heard that. But he just...
He's Brad Mackay in the
Hayes. Yeah, he plays well above his weight. He's a match winner. And, you know, what I probably get to see, when I saw him speak a couple of weeks ago, really humble kid and, you know, certainly a future leader. But when it turns for the Bunnies, like, and you can have a good spine on that, but he's that player that gets him the quick play of the ball, you know, he gets that offload going. And, you know, the Bunnies are going to be dangerous now they're getting their confidence back.
Apparently he had been told over the last couple of years, you're too small to play in the middle. And he said, no, I'm going to find my little niche. And he has. Yeah. So he didn't listen to, critics coming through saying maybe you'll have to move elsewhere. And he's also a really good kid off the field, really intelligent. Yeah. He's got an internship at Macquarie Bank at the moment. So they've got a partnership with the NRL.
Probably got a fuel cancer as well, I'd imagine.
Got a partnership with the NRL, and he's the first one to get this scholarship program.
Well, I think I went to the Tiwi Islands about 5 or 6 years ago, and they do that sort of mentoring stuff, and they donated money. I think Matthew Hayden was there and Berkey and all those guys. He's been a part of that, and he's gone up there and done that stuff in and around that Indigenous community with Officer Macquarie Banks. But he's such a nice kid. But even when I heard him get interviewed, he just wouldn't give himself a rap. And Marty Haynes kept trying to say, and he was really humble, and he really thinks about what he says. But I just love how he plays. He's just tough.
It was a great performance last night, given the fact that they came off that really emotional victory up there against the Broncos, and we know how invested they all were for that one. They've got the Roosters next week. And last night they had to go across the ditch. The weather was poor. The conditions were pretty ordinary to play in, and they needed to get the job done. And look, I didn't think they were fantastic yesterday, but they completed it 90%. You know, they suffocated the life out of the Warriors, who actually turned up with a fairly good attitude for the first 50 minutes.
That's Warriors for you,
eh? Yeah, and they had a win a couple of weeks ago over there, the Warriors against Manly. And I thought, you know what, if they can get their tails in there early, the Warriors, they can actually put up a little bit of resistance against the Rabbits, who had a great win last week, as we mentioned, but up until that had really been struggling. So I just thought it was a totally professional performance and one that was really needed for the Rabbits.
It's a typical Wayne Bennett coach side. Even like going back to Brisbane last week, Wayne's record hasn't been that good going back up there, obviously, other than, you know, when he obviously been at the Broncos. But you could just see that Wayne, even when he walked in the dressing room, people go, mate, what about Wayne Bennett? What people don't realise is sometimes you don't get to see that. We've got to see that around the dressing rooms, in our spare time, you know. Mate, even some days when we're at the Dragons, Wayne would walk in and he'd go, "How's the big Del today?" And like everyone would be looking at him and I was going like, you know, like he's just,
just one of the boys.
Oh, he is. And that's, was it hugged him? Cody Walker. That's what, he's only been there, what, 7-8 months, but that's what he means to a club.
Yeah. What about the Souths boys were saying this year, he only shakes your hand, I think, is it once a day or once a week? And then, I think it's once a week, and if you do it beyond that, he thinks, well, why do I need to shake your hand? What, did he have that back in the day?
No,
or any little quirks like that?
I know when we used to win, which used to be quite often at the Broncos.
Of course.
He used to like eating chocolate. That was his when we
reward
win.
For winning.
And then if the boys would buy him something or get a little present, there'd always be chocolates on the desk or the office staff.
Let's hope he doesn't coach over at the Catalans, because they reckon, you know, the French at every session, before and after, they do the kiss on both sides of the cheek.
Oh, really?
Like every session.
Wow.
So you get in there, you're sitting in the sheds, you're putting your boots on, and the boys go around the room with a kiss on each cheek. How do you reckon Wayne would go in that sort of environment?
Oh, he wouldn't like that.
He might really like it.
He would like, you know who'd look like that? Joey Johns and Freddie would like that.
Oh, well, they would like that. They would like that.
Was Wayne a conventional handshake kind of guy, or did he do that kind of the high five?
No, he was real sort of your real country sort of farm, sort of looking in the eye sort of handshake, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember after one of the games, the Dragons, we had to go out to Warwick, and it was sort of, this function was dragging on a bit, and it was a good function. And then I just said to Wayne, I said, mate, how about I just let you go? And he goes, mate, you do your job and I'll do mine. You interview me. And, you know, you just sort of like, I just have a bit of fun with it, but he lets you know what he wants and when he wants it.
The Rabbitohs looking okay. Sam Burgess back. Alex Johnson also came back last night, and they got the job done. 31-10 over the Warriors. Saturday Triple M, NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.